And so I want to look at another passage that it really should guide us as a church in the days ahead, all the time. And I think one of the most important texts that gives direction for us is here in Matthew 28. Again, there's a lot of different passages that we can go to that really give us some guidance when we think about our church. But this should be one of the most important. And we have a command here from the Lord Jesus Christ, his last command. And it covers the entire age. You know, it was given to the 12 disciples, but it goes for the entire age, as Jesus speaks of here. It's a duty of great importance. And notice what it says here. Beginning of Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Of course, the main command here is the words that are translated in verse 19, teach all nations. That's the imperative here, and everything else is connected to that main command. And that's a word here that means to make disciples. You notice that there's another teaching word in verse 20, that's actually a different word in the original than the word that's translated teach in verse 19. The word in verse 19 is really the main one, and it's has the idea of making disciples. That's really the command that Jesus has given us, given his disciples, to make disciples. I want to think about for a few moments here, what is that goal? What does that mean? What is the goal there? This word, to make disciples here, is more than being a student. It certainly involves teaching and learning, but it's to become attached to one's teacher, to become a follower in doctrine, in life. And so that's a little bit of that idea here. I want to ask you here, you know, does teaching somebody make them a student? Does teaching somebody make them a student? I can remember when I was younger, growing up, my parents had me involved in taking piano lessons, and I have to admit that I didn't enjoy them very much, and I did not want to really make that a part of my life, but my parents insisted for 10 years, probably. I took piano lessons, and you know, I did the practice because I had to. Recitals. I always hated recitals. Having to play under pressure like that, just, you know, that was one thing that I did not like at all. And I remember one recital, I totally forgot half of the piece. And of course, we had to memorize our pieces, and I just blanked out and couldn't remember it. And that was very not enjoyable. But anyway, you know, I was taking these lessons and I was being taught, but you couldn't really say that I was a student of piano. You know, I really wasn't a disciple of the piano. I was being taught, but that didn't mean that I was a true student. And so making disciples is more than just teaching. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is more than just learning. It requires something more than that. Over in Luke 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Then later in verse 33 of Luke 14, Jesus said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And so we just have to recognize the goal here, to make disciples. We're talking about something that is more than just teaching, though it involves that. It involves having a person become something. Their whole life is now directed towards following Jesus Christ. It's more than just having someone attend church services. It's to believe and to live a life according to Jesus Christ. It's a deep and lasting relationship with Christ. You know, we talk about making disciples, and I think that should be on our minds, but we have to realize at the same time, we really, it's not something we can force somebody to do. It's not like we can go out and make them be a disciple. It needs to be a sincere commitment that somebody makes, and yet at the same time, we're involved in that and in trying to see that happen. So the goal of discipleship is what Jesus is talking about here. Teach all nations. This is making disciples of all nations. And then we have a process that goes along with that here in the scriptures. And I think we would say, obviously, that begins with evangelism. You know, how is someone ever going to become a disciple if they don't know and believe on Jesus Christ to save them? They don't know the gospel. And over in Mark chapter 16, you kind of have a parallel passage where Jesus says to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's really the first step of discipleship, of making disciples. It's giving the gospel, evangelizing. And of course, here in this verse, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's right here where we are, and that's everywhere. All nations. How many nations are there in the world today? I looked it up. According to the State Department, it's 195 different units of people in the world today. And that list includes places like Afghanistan and Bahrain and Botswana and Canada and Egypt and Honduras, North Korea and South Korea, Madagascar and Papua New Guinea and United Arab Emirates and Vietnam, the United States and Zimbabwe. Of course, that's only a few of them. But the command is to go and to make disciples, teach all nations, all of them. Every single one of them. And so, as we think about that, you know, we need to be doing that, evangelizing here in our own community, with our own young people, I believe, and also around the world. It's important for us to be able to partner with missionaries here in our church and to be able to have a part in taking the gospel, evangelizing to some of the nations, at least, that we can have an impact on. So the process starts with evangelizing. And then Jesus says there is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, that's another subject we could study. But as we look at the Bible, we see that baptism is for believers. Bible teaches believers' baptism, especially in the book of Acts. You see people putting their faith in Jesus Christ, and then following that, they are baptized, baptizing them. And it's a step of identification. So that's important as well, as Jesus mentions that. You know, as I think about our church, I think we may have some that need to take that step. It's not a step that is going to save a person, but we find that it's one of those first steps after salvation. Somebody becomes a true disciple and they're baptized. And I've said here in past weeks, I'd like for us to have a baptismal service this year. You know, we want to make sure that people that are baptized are truly believers, and we want that, but it's definitely something that's important. And so, you know, we'll have to find some water somewhere, baptize them by immersion, and whether that's here or somewhere else at camp, we've done that, but it's different places. And then we come to teaching. Teaching is part of this process in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. As I mentioned, that word teaching is a different word than verse 19, the teaching there. This is the usual word for teaching. But there must be a continual teaching. When we think about discipleship, sometimes we're just many times thinking about the basics, and that's important too. But Jesus said there's to be a teaching to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So really it's teaching everything that Jesus has commanded, and that needs to be continually done. And then we come here to a promise of discipleship that is here at the end. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Have we come to the end of the world yet? It seems like we're getting pretty close, but no, we haven't come there yet. And so what does that mean? It means that Jesus is with us still. And we have this promise. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan was one of the famous preachers there in England for many years, pastor of the Westminster Chapel. And he told about an experience in his life that happened early on. He said he used to visit several ladies once a week to read the Bible to them. When he came to the end of Matthew's gospel here, this verse we just read, he read this final statement, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And he was talking to one of these ladies, and he said, isn't that a wonderful promise? And one of the ladies replied to him, young man, that is not a promise. It's a fact. It's a fact. And I think what she was trying to emphasize to him is just that it's something that really is true right now. Not just something that we can maybe hope to experience someday, but it truly is a fact that we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us. We have His presence with us, enabling us and empowering us to complete this task. We're not on our own for this. We have the Holy Spirit helping us and enabling us to do what He's commanded us to do. And I think this is something that even applies during a pandemic. And we've had to do some things differently in this past year. Reflecting on this past year, and COVID-19, yeah, that's the big thing that has happened. But it's still not the end of the world. It's still not the end of the world. And so, in spite of our weakness and trusting His strength and power and authority over everyone and everything, we need to remain focused on this command that He has given to us of making disciples everywhere with the help of the Lord. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this command You've given to us. Help us to remain focused on this and to let it guide us as individuals, as a church. We thank You that You promised here to be with us, and we ask for Your help. We know that we can't do this on our own. We can't force people to become followers with their whole lives following You. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to know how we can encourage that and to see that happen in our own church and also in other places all around the world, as this is the goal for everybody in every nation. And we pray that you'd allow us to continue to be a part of this work in this year, if you should tarry, and give us wisdom to know how we can do these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we want to take some time for prayer requests here and praises. And I'll mention a few to start off with. We've been asked to pray for Mrs. Connie Deal. She's the wife of Pastor Jeff Deal. He's a pastor in the area. She had surgery this past week. Again, she's had a lot of issues. I think earlier, maybe at the beginning of 2020, she had a lot of issues there, but she's having some more. So just pray for Connie Deal in surgery and recovering from that. And then also pray for Pat Ogden's great-granddaughter, Emmy Green. She was hospitalized this week there at Children's. They found out she's got type 1 diabetes. She's 5 years old. And so Pat asked us to pray for her. She did come home, but she's going to have to deal with that probably the rest of her life, and taking the shots and everything. And so for a little girl, you can imagine that's probably going to be difficult. It'd be difficult for everybody. But so pray for the Green family, Emmy Green. She's been here to church with Pat in the past. Mentioned my cousins for prayer last week. They had a kidney transplant. My one cousin was giving her kidney to her sister, and they had that surgery, and that went well, and they were able to come back home. The kidney started working right away, and so that's a praise for them. And then I heard this morning that my great aunt passed away. Her husband actually just passed away a week ago or so, Wednesday. Bill Basie, and his wife, Libby, she passed away last night. And so just pray for the family there. So Basie family. Okay, any other praises or prayer requests this morning? It's good to see Ron here this morning. I guess he recovered from his fall.
He's really hurting. He had an x-ray, nothing was shown as broken, but he has a tough time getting out of bed, getting in and out of the car, and hopefully just try to get through it.
All right, so nothing was broken, but still sore from that, so pray for Ron. Yes, Mrs. Gossman.
Our church neighbor down at the end of the road, Trish Skinner, she had surgery at the beginning of the month for what they thought was a thyroid issue growth, and it's turned into cancer in the lymph glands.
Okay, this lady at the end of the road here, Trish Skinner, it's the gray house, the new gray house. Found out that she does have cancer. What type of cancer is she having?
It's in the lymph glands. She's going through tests right now to see, exactly what they'll be dealing with. But it's, it's much more serious than what she anticipated.
Okay, so pray for Trish Skinner, church neighbor at the end of the road here, with cancer that she's facing. Okay, yes, Becky. Okay, so Barb and Randy have taken Shirley to Virginia. to visit her family. And also Shirley's brother, Mac, taking a turn for the worse. Kidneys have begun to shut down, and he is growing discouraged, it sounds like. And so pray for Mac Hay with his health. Okay, anyone else? Praises or prayer requests this morning? Pray for our new administration. We're going to need a lot of prayer. So pray for our authorities. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Becky?
Unspoken.
All right, unspoken for Becky. Any other unspokens? Any other unspokens this morning? Okay, Becky. Don't see Bob here this morning, so I'm assuming he probably was not feeling well or didn't have a good night, so pray for him. Let's see here. Mrs. DeWeese had asked us to pray for her grandson. He's in prison, Samuel Shelton, but he's in quarantine. And then she also requested a prayer for Patty Hartman. I think some of you may know her. She's from Westerville, but she's getting weaker with her cancer, she said. And so pray for Patty Hartman. Anything else this morning? Okay, well, let's go ahead and spend some time in prayer. And we'll divide up. The ladies, make sure they can all fit in there.